Let's pray. Our God and our Father, how we love you, how we bless you. Thank you for bringing us into this brand new year. Thank you for the fact that we're pushing through in 2022. We ask, oh God, that as we look at your word and as we take time to gather ourselves and prepare ourselves for what you have already prepared for us in this year, I pray, Lord God, that you would galvanize us, that you would unify us, that you would bring us together on one accord under your spirit and the direction of your son, Jesus. And I ask, oh God, in these next few moments, give me clarity of thought, clarity of speech, that people might hear your voice and we might hear direction as to how we move together in this first month of this new year. Lord, we love you and we bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Listen, I don't have, normally we have this New Year's Eve service and we celebrate our way into the new year and we talk about and announce the direction that the Spirit of God has given for the new year. And I just tell you, I barely made it through 2021. And so I don't have any of that. I just want to talk for a few moments and I want to talk and share my heart with the one thing I do know that I think the Spirit of God has given me as it relates to our consecration. You know, normally the first month of the year in January, we take time and we fast and we consecrate ourselves and we prepare ourselves for what we believe God is going to do in this next year. And so I want to kind of just take some time and talk. I don't have a whole full-on message. I don't have a word. I don't have, nothing that's homiletically tight. I just want to talk through some stuff that God has given me and how we will approach it in this month. Okay, so I want to start in Ezra chapter 8. Ezra chapter 8, verse 21. The story is, God has moved things in the political realm of the world that his people were involved in. And through the providence and the sovereignty of God, he has allowed, or he has moved the king of the empire of that time to allow the Jews to go back to their homeland and to go back and set up worship unto the one true God that they worshiped. And so Ezra, who was a priest, he was of the priestly line, but he lived in and was a part of the exile of the Babylon, first the Assyrian and then the Babylonian captivity. And he gathers together a group of people and they kind of raise their funds, and all the people who decide that they're going to leave the creature comforts of where they are and head back this dangerous journey to get back to the nation of Israel, where Israel had been, get back to Jerusalem. And the king even has said, you know, I'm going to provide you an escort. Do you want an armed escort? And Ezra turns it down because he says, no, we trust God is going to take care of us. But he didn't really know. There was still fear. Matter of fact, Ezra even admits it in right around verse 22 or 23 of Ezra 8, that he admits that he made this proclamation that God would take care of them. But he had no idea if that was the right decision or not. So look what happens in Ezra chapter 8, verse 21. Ezra says, with that group that was getting ready to go back, he said, then I proclaimed a fast there at the river of Ahava, that we might, listen, humble ourselves before our God, to seek from him the right way for us and for our little ones and for all our possessions. Notice that he says that we called this fast that we might humble ourselves before our God and that we might seek the right way from him. The right way from him as to the direction of our lives and for the direction for our families. And then and direction from God as it related to their possessions. Notice this, that there was a specific time of fasting that was called in preparation for where they were going, not knowing how it was going to happen, not knowing if they had made the right calls in going back, not knowing if he had made the right calls in refusing army and police protection for the people as they go back. He said that we started this off with a specific time of fasting. Listen, with all of the unknowns happening in 2022, and we're in the middle of whatever's going on with Omicron and whatever's happening, whatever the reactions are going to be with that, we don't know what's going to happen. We're in the midst of trying to move this construction project forward in our new place. We don't know what's going to happen. So why not? The best thing that we can do is to turn our time and our attention to God, to specifically humble ourselves before him, to to choose, watch this, to choose to strip away all of the stuff that we think we are and we think we need and we think we have, and to simply humble ourselves before our God and say, God, we don't know. We need to hear from you. We want to hear what you would have to say to us, because we don't know what's going to happen and what to expect. We don't even know how this is going to work out. But notice also that Ezra says that they fasted and humbled themselves before God to seek his direction, to seek a focused path from God, that we wouldn't meander, that we wouldn't wander, but that we would be focused on the path that God has for us, that we would walk in the steps divinely, ordainedly set by God, that we would be focused on that path, that we would know it, that we would see it, so that we could focus on it. But then secondly, he said that we humbled ourselves, and we were in this fast to seek his directives for our families. That, in other words, that kind of connotes a faith-filled plan for our family. You know, too many times with our families, with our children, with our grandchildren, we're just kind of shooting from the hip. We're hitting and missing. We're hoping for the best and doing the best we can, or recycling or repeating what was done with us. But here, Ezra said, we needed to seek God for the path for our families, that we would have a faith-filled plan, that the plan is set, but the plan is all about what we trust God to do, what we need God to do, what we're depending on God for, because we don't have how it's going to happen. But we have a plan that we entrust to God by faith. But then he also says, and I like this part, at the very end of the verse, he says that we were seeking from God his way, the right way, for our possessions. That says that we were fasting to seek after the right way to handle our stuff. That's fiscal propriety. That we would handle our money in the way that God would have us handle our money and our possessions. And so with that in mind, the way that we will fast this year, using what Ezra said, in similar circumstances to what we're facing now, Ezra kind of lays out a three-dimensional approach to fasting and humbling ourselves before God. And so with that in mind, I have what I think is from God as it relates to a three-dimensional, a three-tiered approach for how we fast in this first month of the year. The first aspect is utilizing that last idea that Ezra brings up, that they were seeking the right way to handle their possessions, that fiscal propriety. And so I want to layer the way that we approach our fasting this year, starting with a financial fast, a 3-week long financial fast that would last from January the 9th all the way through the 29th. Watch this. That this financial fast is seeking to help us break habits of bondage in our financial lives, to help us avoid financial drama that tends to pop up when we don't handle our money the right way, to more than that, to be set free from a mindset of consumption. Just because we have it, we've been spending it. To allow us to lay a foundation for a better financial future, to have peace in our lives and not have to lay up worrying about, do we have enough money for the month? In other words, we want to lay a foundation to be better stewards of the things that God has blessed us with. He said that we sought God for the right way to handle our possessions. And so with that, across 3 weeks, I want us, starting on the 9th, to begin to approach a financial fast, which would mean a couple of things. It would mean, first of all, starting each day with what I'm calling pay. Pray, act, and yield. That we would start off the day praying to ask God to help us do better, to be mindful of what we're doing with our money. That we would then seek to approach it with recognizing that today I've got to make good, sound decisions with the money that God has given me. and then acting upon that by how we do better with our finances on a day-to-day basis across 3 weeks, and yielding to God's will and what God has to say about money across that process. So listen, you're gonna need an accountability partner. You need somebody who can ask you questions. How did you do today? Did you get that Starbucks, or did you leave that alone? And then you're gonna have to be an accountability partner for somebody else. Daily, during those 3 weeks, we're gonna have a financial passage that'll be made available on our website that we want you to read and study and highlight and think through the principles of what God's word has to say about our money, our understanding of money, and how we handle possessions as stewards. But then that also means in an acting sense, on day-to-day basis for 21 days, I want us to only use cash to make purchases. No debt, no credit cards usage. Don't buy some stuff now and hope that you can pay it off later. Use only cash. And if you don't have cash on hand to purchase it, then you don't need it. Don't eat out. Don't get Starbucks. Don't waste your food on stuff that you can't prepare and fix and fit into your weekly budget. Buy only what you need. There's no need to go on Amazon and try to get a whole bunch of stuff. Let's live frugally. Let's live with what we need, because God has promised to supply all that we need, not all the stuff that we want. And then review with your accountability partner 2 to 3 times a week. Okay, I did okay on Monday. I messed up and got some Starbucks on Tuesday. On Wednesday, I kind of messed up and I went on Amazon and I did this. And be able to hold each other accountable and encourage each other to do better the next time. So that's going to be 3 straight weeks of a financial fast where we would pay every day, that we would pray, that we would act and yield to God's will on a daily basis across 3 weeks, hoping to break the hold of stuff. That it's okay to have stuff. God doesn't want stuff to have us, okay? So that's gonna be 3 weeks, starting on the 9th all the way through the 29th. But then on the 16th, the third Sunday of the month, we're gonna incorporate, along with our financial fast, a total liquid fast, so that for 1 week, just 7 days, that we would be from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m., that we would do liquids only during the day. That you can eat before 6 a.m., you can eat after, as long as it's moderately, as long as it's, you know, it's nothing extravagant, nothing extra stupid. And remember, you're still on a financial fast while you're also handling those other things. But then I'm also asking, incorporating in that food fast, that you and I would hold ourselves to 3 times a day of prayer. You can do it at 6, at 12, and at 9. That would incorporate 3 times in every day that we would stop to pray. It may not be long, may not be drawn out, but that you would pray 3 times every day for 7 days, and specifically use some time at night for Bible study. 8 p.m. is the one that I'm choosing for me, that I'm stopping everything, and from 8 p.m. until prayer time at 9, I'm studying the Word of God. You can use the weekly prayer topics that are going to be texted out at the beginning of every week. Also, there'll be other prayer and study topics available on the website. If you don't know what to study during that nightly study time or that daily study time, there's going to be some things there for you and I to study and consider and spend some time in the Word, getting our minds right while we're also fasting from food and submitting and subjecting our flesh to fall under the Lordship of Christ, while at the same time still on a financial fast. We're gonna incorporate another level where we bring it in and we submit this flesh, that we might hear from God, spend time with Him in prayer, hear from Him in prayer and in study of the Word. Then on the third week, starting on the 23rd, we will have a financial fast still going on, but then on that third week, we will start a media fast. Now the food fast will have ended, but we start the next week with a media fast, because listen, our lives are so cluttered with information, we find ourselves seeking to fill holes in our lives with entertainment. How many times you don't need to grab your phone, but you grab your phone and you're scrolling through things. So we want to shut down the noise that media and entertainment can create, that we could focus on the directives that God has for both ourselves and our families and our finances. So during that week, the 23rd through the 29th, no social media. You don't need to post. You don't need to find out what other folks are posting. No TV. No web surfing that is not job and work related. No movies. I know some of us have gotten accustomed to our streaming services. No movies. No games. No gaming systems. No games on your computer. No games on your phone. No forms of entertainment that seek to distract us or to fill holes in our lives. That the only thing that we would allow would be musically would be praise and worship that we incorporate as a part of our weekly study and our weekly going about. So that's a three-phased or three-dimensional approach to worship: a financial fast, a week of food fasting, and a week of a media fast. And again, the goal is to humble ourselves before our God and seek the right way for ourselves, for our families, and for our possessions. That whatever 2022 may hold, that we would prepare ourselves spiritually, emotionally, and even financially, that we would be in right alignment with God, and that we won't allow stuff and things to clutter out his voice in our lives, so that no matter what comes in 2022, we're following him. We're following his voice, and we've developed ourselves to know how to do that because we have sought the right way from him. All right, listen, I know that's a heavy load for some folks. If you've never tried fasting, listen, this is a different way of fasting for all of us. And so everybody's going to be on the same page on this one. I invite you, even if you've never tried fasting before, join in with us that we might humble ourselves before our God. There's too many unknowns. We can't get tripped up and tripped out on what's happening around us. So we want to seek the right way from him in our lives, in our families, and even in our finances. And so I'm just going to ask that you would prayerfully consider joining us and being a part of this, focusing ourselves, because we're going to find ourselves having to push through some things in 2022. And we've got to be in the right mindset and right alignment with God to do so. All right? Listen, let me pray for us. Father, we thank you so much that even in challenging times like these, you're still on the throne. Thank you that your plan will never be thwarted and is never thrown off by anything or anyone. And so, Lord, we choose in this time of uncertainty around us to focus ourselves on you. I pray for every one of us that you would give us the strength to endure. I pray that you would give us the right ideas and the right concepts on how to chase after you and seek your face, seek your voice, and seek your presence at the very beginning of this year, so that we'll be used to doing it throughout the other 11 months of 2022. God, I thank you now for what you're going to say, what you're going to reveal, the chains that you will break, the bondages that we will be released from, the focus that you will give us, the capability to understand who we are in times like these, like never before, because of this time of sacrificing and humbling ourselves before you. God, if you'll be in the midst of this fast, we will follow you fully in everything that you say and everything that you do in 2022. In Jesus' name, amen.